Well, it's a joy to be with you again under better circumstances this time. And pray that the Lord would speak to us now as we open his word to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. As you turn in your Bibles, I want to remind you that the Lord has been gracious to us to often call us to listen, to hear, to be attentive, to also to behold, to see, and to wonder at his word. And as we hear the word this morning, this evening, let us tune our hearts to that invitation to listen, to hear, to behold, and to see the glories and the wonders of his word as we read from Luke chapter 8. We're going to actually start in verse 1, and we'll read to verse 18. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Huzza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who may enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Let's continue on with the next 3 verses. Then his mother and his brother came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, you have called us to come and to open our mouths so that you might fill it. We have come seeking to receive your word this evening, to hear your word proclaimed, that we might receive it, that we might understand it, that we might heed your word. That we be a people who hear it and take it to heart. That we might walk in your ways according to your law, according to your will, and according to the revelation that you've given us in Jesus Christ, who has secured for us such a great salvation, such a great inheritance. Lord, we draw near this evening to hear you speak to our hearts, that we might walk in your ways. So Lord, do these things by your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if you noticed throughout the text, this word, this idea of hearing is just repeated time and time again. Jesus comes and he's proclaiming the gospel. He's heralding the good news of the kingdom. And he's crying out in cities, and many are coming to him, gathering in great crowds. His disciples are there. The women who have come near to his ministry are there. But also great crowds come hearing the gospel proclamation, responding to this good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the call goes on to bid them repent and believe in the gospel. And Jesus is going throughout heralding this good news. And many are hearing. Many are hearing. But not everyone is responding with the same response. Actually, there's a multitude of responses that could take place when the gospel is proclaimed. We see in the parable of the sower that there are some who hear, and then it just goes away immediately. There's some that hear that Satan takes it away from them. There are others that hear, and they receive it with joy, but there's no root in them. There's others who hear it and begin to even show signs of belief, but yet they are choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and they don't bear fruit. But there are those who hear, and they take hold of the word. They believe, and they respond with faith, and that word begins to do a work in them, and it begins to work out of them, and their lives begin to bear much fruit. So when we read passages like this, we need to be very careful to take care then how we hear. Because as we sit under the preaching of the gospel, as we sit under the proclamation of the gospel, we can become so accustomed that we may just assume that we know everything already and that we've got it down. We know the rudiments, we know the tune, we can sing the lyrics, we're good. But are you continuing to grow in the gospel? Are you continuing to be transformed by the gospel? Have you changed from a year ago sitting underneath the proclamation of God's word? Because the one thing the gospel does, and we see in this passage, is that doesn't leave anyone the same. What we see is that when the gospel comes to bear on a person's life, they will either bear fruit or they will not bear fruit. Everyone in this passage has heard the gospel. That's what they all have in common. They heard. But some hear, and it does a work in them, and it begins to work out of them in a fruitful way. And why is that? Well, I don't think it's any secret, because Jesus doesn't really like to keep secrets. Obviously, from this passage, we begin to see that Jesus exposes the secrets of the kingdom. He begins to show the glories of the gospel, especially in verses 16 through 18. He says to his disciples, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed." That's just nonsense. Like, why would anybody do that? I just think it's interesting that he says, "No one." Like, hello? Who turns on the light only to just have it hidden? Well, I remember growing up at home and walking into a room and turning on the light and walking through the room and carrying on. My dad would look at me like, why do you walk into a room, turn on the lights, and then walk out of the room and leave them on, turn them off? Like, so maybe I'm the guy who turns on the light and not to use it. But we're not talking about electrical lights here. We're talking about lamps. No one lights an oil lamp with precious oil in it, costly oil in it, just to go and hide that light. No, he uses it for its appropriate purpose, for its appropriate function. You light a lamp and you set it on a stand so that everyone who enters the room might see. And that's what Jesus is saying. The word of the gospel is a light that is sent out so that people can see what God is really doing in the world. There's no secrets anymore. God is shining his light in the world so that people can see and perceive and understand and behold the glories of what God is doing in their day and what God is doing in our day through the gospel. The light has been lit. The light shines so that we might perceive what God is up to in the world. The light is on so that you can know what? So that you can know God. So that you can know his king. So that you can know his kingdom and walk in it. That is why the light was turned on, so that you can see. And by seeing, you might perceive and understand. But in verse 17, he says, at the end of that parable, he explains to us, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest." That's why the lights are turned on. So that what is hidden can be exposed. The reality of the world, the difficulties of the world, but yet God's redemptive answer to the difficulties of the world can be understood. Everything that's hidden is now coming to light. It's being unveiled. That's what manifest means. It's the unveiling of those things that are hidden. "Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." All the mysteries, the light is beginning to shine on so that we can understand what God is up to in the world. Jesus is not keeping any secrets from us in the gospel. No, he's letting us in on the glorious news of what God has come to do for sinners like us. That God has come to reconcile us to himself. There's no mystery anymore if you will hear and understand what God is saying to you. The light is shining. The word is being proclaimed. How are you hearing this? Are you receptive to this, or are you hardened to this? Jesus says to his disciples, in light of this, in light of the gospel coming into the world, as the gospel shines forth, as the good news of the kingdom is being proclaimed, he tells his disciples, and he tells, I think, even in the crowds around him, he gives them this word: "Take care then how you hear." Now that the light is shining, be very careful. Now that the gospel is being proclaimed, perk up your ears and pay attention. Be very diligent to hear the word and to take it within, take it into yourself. Be careful how you hear then. Because there's a blessing for you. Take care then how you hear, because there is a blessing. That blessing is follows in the next phrase: "For to the one who has, more will be given." That's the blessing of receiving and hearing the gospel and taking care to hear it. That if you've received light, you will get more light. Take care then how you hear, because if you've heard the good news of the gospel, there's more blessing for you as you grow and as you continue to walk in the gospel. "For to the one who has, more will be given." That is the blessing of taking care of how you hear. But as God often does, when he pronounces a blessing, he also gives us a warning as well. The blessing: "To those who have, more will be given." The next phrase tells us what the warning is. "And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Don't just assume because you've had a little light, you have all the light. Don't just assume because you've had some encounter with the Word of God that you have all the Word of God that you need. No, take care then how you hear. You must continually receive the Word and grow in your understanding. That's the blessing. But the warning is, don't stop there. Don't become familiar with the gospel. Don't become so well acquainted that you begin to tune out the proclamation of God's word. Don't become so familiar with the word of God that that's for the Sunday school class for the kiddos. I'm fine to take a little nap during the preaching hour. No, We need to be attentive. We need to take care how we hear wherever the gospel is preached, whenever the gospel is read, whenever the word of God is read. To take care, to be very careful how we hear. It's all throughout the Old Testament. It's all throughout the New Testament. Hear, O Israel. Repeated over and over in the prayers of Israel. Hear, hear, hear. All throughout the Psalter. Listen. Pay attention. Behold. Always be looking. Always be listening. Always be hearing. But do it with care. Do it with the kind of care that a mother would have for her child, to nurture it, to attend to it, that it might grow and mature. So take care how you hear, so that you might attend to the gospel, that it might grow in your heart and it cultivate fruit in your heart, that you might bear fruit. And taking care that we hear, we have that blessing that those who have more will be given. And the warning is, for those who have not heard, what they have will be taken away. So in hearing, there's an opportunity for growth. But when we cease to hear, there's actually opportunity for loss. So how ought we to take care how we hear the word? How might we attend more to the light that Jesus has given to us in the gospel? How might we be a people who really take this teaching to heart that the Lord gives to us and receive the blessing that he promises to us, instead of falling underneath the detrimental damage that comes from just assuming that you know the word and it be taken away from you? Well, I think that in verse 15 of this chapter, we take care best when we take hold of the word proclaimed. We take care in our hearing best when we take hold of the word proclaimed. Jesus describes the nature, the character, and the qualities of the good soil. Look in verse 15. It says, "As for that in the good soil, the receptive soil, they are those who, hearing the word," remember, everyone heard the word, but there's something distinctly different about the good soil. "They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast." They take possession of the word proclaimed. They grab hold of it. They hold fast to it. They cling to it. They put their fingernails down deep in it and won't let it go. And they wrestle with it as it's wrestling with them. They hold fast to the word. So whenever the gospel is proclaimed, whenever the scriptures are read, hold fast. Find some truth that you can cling to and grab hold of and take it down into your heart and say, "I will not let this go. Lord, don't let me go." Hold it fast. So to take care and hearing well, we need to take hold of the word of God and hold fast to this. What was it that was preached this morning even that you heard that I need to remember that? I need to meditate upon that truth throughout the week. I need to share this with my family so that we don't forget together, that we might at a mealtime or a morning devotion or on the way to work, maybe you grab a note card and scratch down that thing that you heard that you need to remember and you ask that God would plant down deep inside of your heart. You take hold of whatever that teaching is and you begin to meditate upon it. Psalm 1 tells us that's the blessed man, isn't it? Who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Is he not the fruitful man who clings to the word and holds to it, thinking about it, meditating on it, praying about it? What is it that you're hearing even now from this scripture that you need to take hold of and hold fast to? That's how we take care to hear. What's being said? I need to remember that and take it into my heart. Meditate on it. Pray about it. Think deeply upon it. maybe do some study, further study on it. One way you can even take hold of it is to begin to talk about it. Take what you've heard, take what you've received, and talk with it with someone else. Take care how you hear by taking hold of the word. We notice, too, that the good soil holds fast to the word with an honest and good heart. It goes after that truth, it goes after that teaching, it clings to it, but it takes it within itself. The good soil takes it down deep into one's heart with a receptive attitude. That's what it means to have an honest and good heart, to receive the word as truth, so that we might respond to the word in truth. To receive the word as truth, that we might take it down into our hearts, meditating on it, that we might respond to it, that we might obey it, that we might walk in it. It's one thing to gain a bunch of knowledge, but wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Are you taking the things that you do know and walking in them? A good and honest heart receives the word with receptivity, but it seeks to respond to the word in obedience. This is something that we need to take care to do in our hearing. Not just, well, that was edifying, that was encouraging, that was a good sermon. What are you going to do with it? What are you asking God to do with it in your heart? What application are you seeking to apply as you hear the word of God proclaimed week in and week out, Lord's Day after Lord's Day? To take care to hear, we need to take hold of the word with an honest and good heart. Again, that just seems to receive the truth and to respond to it rightly. We hold it fast in an honest and good heart. And we do that with a patient heart. No one gets fixed fast. We all need to hear that, don't we? Sometimes I just wish God would throw me into the microwave of his grace and boom, I'm done. Holy, sanctified. I think I shared with you last time. No, God owns a kiln. He doesn't have a microwave. This takes time. The Lord is at work on us to accomplish his purpose and his time. But the one who takes hold of the word with an honest and good heart takes hold of it with patience, knowing that a patient heart, that God is going to bear good fruit out of it. So persevere in the truths that you hear. Pray over it, expecting God to do something in and through you and through his word. But be patient. Now, for someone like me to hear, be patient, I need a little bit more clarity. Don't be pushy. Don't try to gas pedal this thing. Seek to walk your Christian life at the pace of grace that the Spirit is leading you at, not at your desired pace that you would like to run at. Walk at the pace that the Spirit is setting in your life. Don't try to outrun the work that he's doing on you. Now, I'll tell you the results of that. It's a mess. Anytime I try to outrun in my sanctification or outdoing the Spirit in my obedience, I get worn out. But if we walk at his pace of grace, he gives us everything that we need. So take care to hear these words, but do it with patience, meditating on them, praying them, thinking about them, not saying, fix me now. I just want to be obedient now. No, take it in and allow the Lord to do his work in his time on your heart and be patient in that, because there is great reward for those who, hearing the word, take hold of it with an honest and good heart. Those who hear the word and receive it with receptivity and respond to it with patience, what's the reward of this? There will be a harvest. That's the promise. The Lord will bear fruit in those who take his word, hold fast to it, and patiently walk at the pace that he is leading. They will see fruit in their life. What about when the cares of the world come your way? I'm trusting the Lord. He's faithful to his word. I will patiently endure with the Lord these trials. What about when the tempter comes and tries to steal what I've heard away from me? The Lord is my fortress and my refuge and my strength. I will trust in him. I believe his word to be true. I will walk with him. Trust him. What about when the cares of the world come your way, or you're distracted by riches and pleasures and cares? Behold the Lord who's with you. Trust him. Be patient to walk with him. Keep your eye not only on the word that you have heard, but keep your eyes on the one who has spoken that word to you. Keep your eyes on the light that is leading you to walk in the truth. Look to the light of the word. Isn't it interesting that Jesus himself says that he is the word? He's the word that we're receiving. Jesus himself is the word that we are receiving when we hear the word of God proclaimed. To receive the word into your heart, to be receptive to the word, is to receive Christ himself. To walk according to the light is to walk according to Christ himself. And he is giving us, when we seek his word, he's giving us more of himself. When we're seeking to walk in his light, he's offering us more of himself. So the more that you come and hear the word of God and you receive it and you take care to receive it with a good heart, you're receiving more of Christ himself in that word. You're receiving more light, the light of Christ, more and more when you receive it from him. You're not just getting mere information. You're getting the incarnated Lord and King who has come to make himself known to you that you might have fellowship with him. And if you come to him and you receive him and you take care how you hear, the reward is he gives you more and more and more of himself. But what's the warning then? Well, if you're just kind of one and done kind of people, I know everything I need to know. Be very careful. From the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Don't ever grow familiar with Jesus. Don't ever grow just accustomed to Jesus and to his word. Brothers and sisters, take care then how you hear the word of God. Again, how do we do that? We do it by taking hold of it, clinging to it with an honest and good heart, receptive and ready to respond with patience, knowing that the one who is giving us himself is going to bear fruit in our lives by his promises, through his word, and his time. We read the broader context of this passage just so that you can see that many responded to Jesus in a multitude of different ways. But I just want to mark out the two bookends of the text that we read this evening. Jesus going through the cities and villages we see in verse 1 and following, that he was there proclaiming the good news, and those who had heard and received him, his disciples, were with him. They were there with him. verse 1 says, the 12 were with him. That is where you want to be. When Jesus proclaims the gospel, when his word is preached, every opportunity you have to hear the word, be there with him. Because we also see that it wasn't just the 12, but there were also women who had been touched by Jesus. They had been delivered by Jesus. There they are with him. They had been had this glorious encounter with him, and they could not help but go with him wherever he went. But look at the other book end of the passage. I think this is here for our instruction. Luke is intentional to teach us here. That his 12 were with him, and the women that were with him came because they had heard him, and they could not let him go. But look at verse 19. Those who were familiar with Jesus, those who knew Jesus, those who were actually closest to Jesus, look where they are. Verse 19 says, his mother and his brothers came to him. Let this just serve as a warning here for us. But they could not reach him because of the crowd. They couldn't get to him on their timetable when they wanted to get at him. Oh, we'll see him when he comes around, or we'll go to him when we need him, but they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. And verse 20 says, and he was told, your mother and your brothers, note this phrase right here, are standing outside. They can't get to you. They're out there. And now they're desiring to see you. And Jesus' instruction there is, but he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Those who have come near to me, who are relating to me, who are clinging to my word and won't let it go, who are walking in what they have understood, who are putting into practice what I am teaching. No, these are my mother and my brothers, those who hear the word of God and do it. It is those who take heart, who take care then how to hear by taking hold, that Jesus says are his mothers and his brothers. How are you hearing the word? Are you seeking to grab hold of the word? To cling to it, to allow it to cling to you in such a way that you take it down into your heart in meditation and in prayer and thinking deeply and also in study and conversation? Are you taking it down into an honest and good heart, receiving the truth and then seeking to respond to it by God's grace? Or do you merely hear the word and pass on to the next thing? Take care how you hear. Are you patient with how God is at work in your heart with the word that he's delivering to you? Are you trusting him? Are you seeking him in the way that you are encountering his word? Are you becoming a little impatient, squirmy, like little kids are in church sometimes? It's like, is it time? Or are you just content with being with the Lord and his word proclaimed? Or are you looking for the exit ramp? Looking for a new teaching that might be more acceptable to you at this point. Looking for the new, well, they call them life hacks these days. There are no quick fixes. No one gets fixed fast. Actually, God's work of grace is always at the pace that we can actually walk at. We don't ever have to run. If we're walking in the light by his word with him, clinging to him, staying close to him. Remember, that the blessing is not just that you receive more light and more understanding around the word, but what God is offering to you when you come to him, to take hold of him, it's himself. When the word is proclaimed, when the law is read, when the psalms are sung and the gospel is preached, it is the Lord offering himself to you. And as we sing in the psalm earlier, let us open our mouths to receive it. But also let us understand that not to walk in it, not to heed it, is to go the way of the wicked man, to walk in folly, to walk in disobedience, to know what God's word is and not to do it is just absolute foolishness. But for those who hear the word and receive it and desire to walk in it, oh, your eyes are open to the glories of God's word, of God's kingdom, of his creation. Everything begins to shine in the light of his word. And that's why we see in Psalm 36 that the psalmist meditates on the wickedness of those who, in their own eyes, look to themselves rather than to God's revealed will. They look to themselves rather than to God's word. But the blessing that comes to those who listen to the Lord, who hear his word, who set their gaze and behold his glorious deeds, how they are transformed and walk in blessing. Psalm 36, verse 7 says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Take care then how you hear, that you might walk in the light of God's word in such a way that you take hold of it with an honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience, and that you begin to see and to perceive the word, the world, in the light of God's word. Let's sing now Psalm 36, Selection B, responding to the word that we've heard this evening.